Hello, tile friends. Welcome back. Hello, Facebook. Welcome back to another live recording of the Tile Money Podcast. I thought I was live, but I wasn't. So I'm glad I saw that and didn't start talking and rapping the whole time here. We've got a great subject today. We've got another great subject. I'm glad you're with me. I'm looking forward to your comments. As always, if you're watching this in Facebook, we're in a couple of the popular groups, and we're also on the Tile Money page. We're also in YouTube. So if you're watching, feel free to comment, make comments, and we'll share your comment like this. Anthony Moses said this is his favorite topic, and then this was actually Derek, I believe, said that all tile jobs should be high profit jobs. That's right, Derek. Tile is a want, not a need. Tile is the BMW. It is so true. And that's why I continue to talk about profit with the Tile Money Podcast, because unfortunately, every day in the groups, I see people saying things like, you know, how do you rape your customers like that? How do you, you know, don't you want to do good by people? All these kind of like little misconceptions that, you know, almost like it's a backwards mindset, and it's something I'm trying to change is my mindset. So it's something I continue to talk about. So I am well. Thank you. Thank you for asking. So I do have a guest today to talk about a couple jobs of his that were highly profitable jobs. And we're going to kind of analyze a couple of these jobs and talk about it and talk about what made them so profitable, talk about how to sell for profit, talk about how to really analyze how you're doing things, making sure that, you're not losing money. So many times we're losing money. Profit is not a dirty word. All right. I do like this hat as well. So check it out. Before we bring on the guest, I just want to take a quick minute to thank my sponsors of the Tile Money Podcast, the NTCA, National Tile Contractors Association. They have been around for a good long time, since the late 40s, and they're dedicated to assisting you, the tile contractor, grow your business. And that's why I'm so happy that they're supportive of this podcast. I also want to thank Lady Crete International. Lady Crete invented thinset. I mean, how cool is that? USA-based company. Family owned. They're not a public traded company. They're a private company. They make private family decisions for the business. Great company. So without further ado, I'm going to bring my guest up here. And we'll see what he has to say. We're going to look at some of his photos for a couple jobs and analyze these. Zach Bonfilio.
What's up?
Good to have you, brother.
Guy in the tile industry. How you doing?
Good. Good to see you.
You too, brother.
So how's your Sunday?
Yeah, it's just relaxing. I've just been, you know, vegging out, and I'm going to probably hit the pool after this. So let's wrap this up.
Nice. Yeah, let's get it. All right. Well, a lot of you know Zach. You know, Zach has a Facebook group, and I was attempting to go do like the Misfit Tylers. I was attempting to go do a watch party in there for your followers. I think it's happening. I don't know.
It's my phone gave a notification, so it's probably on there.
Right on. So you are somebody who obviously very outspoken about your beliefs. You have your group, the Misfit Tylers, and you preach profit. You preach business tactics. I'm in your group. I've been in there for a while. Like most people, I've been kicked out and I came back and left and all kinds of fun
stuff. I don't
stuff.
Remember kicking you out. It must have been one of my other admins.
It was a long time ago, Zach.
It was probably me. I'm quick on that button.
It's all good, brother. It's all good. The thing about it is it's your group. And I think what a lot of people fail to understand is, just like my group, we have to run them the way, we kind of want to see fit.
It's like babysitting 4,000 adults. So yeah, sometimes you have to,
that's it.
I probably go a little more than most on the button, but.
Well, what's interesting about Zach, friends, is, a lot of you may not know this. You're from Boston. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
But you're currently living in Texas, one of the most hated states, probably other than Florida, for tile prices. Low prices over there in Texas, right?
I'm aware.
But you found a way to make a profit, to turn a profit, and do highly profitable jobs. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. I mean, I say it all the time. You know, you can put me anywhere, and I'm going to find the money. It's just all who your clientele is. Then first thing I heard when I was moving to Texas was, you're not going to make any money there, and I was like, yeah, all right, but. It hasn't been awful. So I think I've figured it out.
You've been there, what, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I got here in October of 2017. So coming up on 3 years.
Yeah.
I worked for Aaron at JNR for about 8 months, and then I just went right back to doing my own thing. And it's been a journey, but you know, I'm right now just still building. You always got to be building your portfolio. So that's what my focus is on down here, is focusing on getting my customers to let me have creative freedom so that I can turn ahead on any type of social media platform and other people see me. And then, so the name goes out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And here we have Derek Crow. He says, because of your personal advice, he's been able to double his prices, what he charges here in Florida, which is the beautiful state that I am in also.
Yeah, that's also a pretty hot state. I've worked in both states, actually.
Yeah.
I did tile work in Florida, and it was not easy.
Oh, is that right? So you moved around a little bit like me, huh?
Yeah. I'm a nomad. I stay until it doesn't make sense to stay somewhere, and then I just pack up and leave.
There you go.
I do like Texas, though. I want to stay. I don't have any plans to move.
Yeah. Well, let me pull up these photos here.
Sure.
And the first job we're going to look at here is like a white and blue bathroom. Do you remember this job?
Yes, remember it vividly.
And we'll just scroll through some of the photos real quick. So obviously we're looking at a shower, but it was it was more than a shower, right? Did you do that whole bathroom?
That was a full custom bath remodel. It was basically, we left a little bit of drywall up, but other than that, it was essentially gutted.
And then is this a porcelain countertop that you?
That's a Decton by Cosentino opera slab that I actually cut the sink out of and integrated it in using 1.25 inch foam. So that was, I tried to vein match it, but you can only vein match so much when you're putting a three-dimensional object into something. So I think it ended up coming out as good as it was gonna, but that's a one-off. Nobody else has done it that way, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that people have done it plenty of times with granite or porcelain, but 4 millimeter Decton, it was a challenge. It's like working with glass.
So let's talk about this real quick, because this is something that I've seen, you know, like you're saying, not a lot of, but it's definitely picking up. I mean, making something like this. How do you sell that to your client? I mean, did they request this from you, or did you bring the idea to them?
No, I most of the time bring the idea to my customers. So when I go into a project, this particular job, so this was a custom design by me, by yours truly. She gave me 100% creative freedom on the whole thing. The only thing she picked out was essentially color schemes. So she would tell me, like, I like grays, I like blues, I like this. We got that blue tile is from San Pedro Creek in San Antonio. So essentially we got that tile, that concrete tile, and I sort of designed the whole bathroom around that. Mm-hmm. Because it's so wild, it's blue. Mm-hmm. I mean, what else are you gonna do? So you gotta go with a white or a gray, or else nothing's gonna match with that.
Yeah.
Added in the wood tones and stuff, burnt a lot of that wood around the mirrors and on the accent wall, and then put a little teak shelf in the niche.
So how does that work? I mean, how do you get a client that says go with it?
She found me on Instagram, and she saw some of the cool scribe work that I did some other projects. And once again, it's like that's what I do with my customers, is I'm like they, I'm trying to get them to see me for what I do as opposed to what they want me to do. Mm-hmm. So it was a social media, using the power of social media. My Instagram, she messaged me and she said, I love your work. Please come over. We started talking for about 20 minutes, and I always just drop this. This is a good way to sacrifice without losing money. You know, like, I'm not doing this stuff for what I could charge sometimes, if that makes sense. Like,
right.
This bathroom, I charged about $26,000 for this whole bathroom, and that was labor, and then the material was whatever it was. But it took about 3 months to complete, but it was really only about a month's worth of work. We had a lot of delays and stuff.
About 20 days of work time.
Yeah, so let's call it 30 days of work. Mm-hmm. You know, $26,000. Do the math, just divide. Yeah. And that's not crazy money, but it's not bad money. And the reason I did it for that price point was because, so Gatsby wants to be on the show.
Yeah,
the reason I did it for that price point was because I see the value in doing something this way, where somebody else is going to look at it and just sort of trading up and sort of just, you know, the upgrade and trade model, where I'm actually just trading my portfolio for a project that I want to do. And then eventually, if every job starts coming out like this, where they're like, I don't just blank check, that's what the end goal is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, $100 an hour for somebody who's relatively new in Texas and yeah, you know, kind of, you know, building up your name and reputation. I mean, $100 an hour. I mean, I think a lot of guys would say that's a good spot to be in nonetheless. Yeah. But sure, also the fact that, you know, like you're saying, you believe you could have got even some more profit out of this, which I believe you could have. I mean, this is a gorgeous remodel bathroom, right out to a pool. You can see this home, like, you know, this is a money home. They're not really, you know, worried about an extra, you know, 5 or 10, 15 grand, as long as they would, you know, get the end results. And I believe in the future, you're going to be selling these bathrooms at $40,000 and $50,000.
Yeah. And that's actually a good point to bring up, because I do ask what their budget is. And it's not, I don't believe them when they tell me, but I do ask, you know, like, I just said, cause if you ask somebody what their budget is, they're going to go on the low end. But, I asked her how much she's willing to spend, and she said that she was like, well, I want to do the bathroom and the kitchen, and I only got about 40 grand for both of them. So I was like, okay, so let's do the bathroom for 25. And then the kitchen is a lot simpler. And I tried to make it work for that price. Ended up putting a few change orders in. And I think it kicked up closer to 30, but that is, in my opinion, that's a $50,000 bathroom.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the whole remodel, it's worth every penny of 50. But I mean, for your circumstances and you know, getting it done, and the amount of time you got done, I mean, you made good profitable money, no doubt about it.
Exactly, and that's what it is. It's just, can you do the, not rush through the job, but can you use your time management well enough to keep it over $100 an hour for every job? And if you do that consistently, then who cares what the cost of the bathroom is, you know? It's what the cost of what you're putting in your pocket.
Yeah. I mean, that's also a good point. Like, you know, we talk a lot about what things cost, and a lot of, you know, the old school method was by the square footage and everything. And you can make some killer money sometimes doing that, like banging out a lot of square footage. But at the end of the day, if you're going to be doing what Zach is doing, which is home remodeling work, really covering a variety of trades, maybe scheduling, you know, some other trades and whatnot, what you want to do is make sure that your time, your prices, the way most businesses come up with a price is based on a simple formula. And that simple formula is, okay, how much is my overhead? How much, you know, do I want per hour? And then how much profit do I want to put in the bank? And then how much taxes? And you add all this stuff up and you're like, well, then this is my hour. You get it down to the hour, this, you know, preferably, this is my hourly rate. And I'm going to estimate this many hours for a job like this. And that's how you don't lose your ass on jobs you know, that way. I mean, some people say, well, showers don't pay, or floors don't pay, or this doesn't pay. It's like, I don't care what I'm doing. Yeah, my time is worth what it is, you know? So, and then other jobs. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's exactly what I do. And people have asked me this question a lot, is they go, how do you bid a job by the square foot? And I go, no, why would I bid it by the square foot? Because you just said floors don't make money. How am I going to make, if I have a $10 or $12 an hour floor and it's only 40 square feet, how can you turn that into thousands of dollars? You can't. So what I do is I just say, all right, this job's going to take 30 days, and I multiply it by 750 and add 20% for overhead and profit. That's the simplest way you could possibly do it.
Right.
When I'm giving out my work to other when I'm a subcontractor for somebody else, like I'm actually doing a lot of that work now, they have a price sheet with my square footages on it, but it all really does even out to, I want to make over $100 an hour no matter what. Yeah. Or around $100 an hour.
Yeah. And you work by yourself?
Now I am. I've sort of learned that I sometimes need a helper, but not enough where I can actually just keep someone around. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I spend months training people, and it's custom work, and I have to train them a lot, and it just takes so much. A lot of people aren't built for it. So now I've sort of gone back down to the business model of just hire a broom pusher when you need them, and then do everything else yourself. And it's more of the I just don't have the time to train people aspect, as opposed to the necessarily need for help.
Yeah. I imagine too, working with Zach, bona fide is like, you know, not necessary.
It's not the same as you'd think. I'm actually, I've been given some compliments that I'm pretty easy to work for, but I have a personality on the internet, and I have a real personality. People don't seem to get that.
No, that actually makes a lot of sense. That doesn't surprise me, actually.
Yeah.
So let's switch gears here. Here we've got a mural of like a tree of life or whatever type situation.
I think you actually showed both. That's the larger one. One was 78 by 40 with a 2-inch chair rail. It's all travertine, custom tree of life printout. I think that they got somewhere.
And then there was the smaller one right here.
Yeah, that one. Yes. Oh, this one. And that one. Yeah, that one came with a chair roll after that other photo, but it was same exact thing, just scaled down.
Yeah.
I think that one was 39 by 29. Yeah, 39 by 29. So speaking of what we were just talking about, when I'm a subcontractor for somebody else, I give them a price of what I would want for something like along those lines. And I think my mosaic price is usually around between 35 and 45 a foot. So it's such a small piece, but when you're charging 35 a foot, you know, that takes 1 hour, and you do the math on, you know, 10 square feet, and then you do the chair rail, then you add the sealer and the grout. You take 1 hour, and you made, instead of $100 an hour, $500 an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the smaller the job, obviously, the more you want to, I mean, if you're going to be going out there setting up that scaffolding, I mean, you have to take all that into consideration. So what was the selling price point on these two?
I have no idea because once again, I'm a sub and I don't want to speak for anybody else.
Sure.
They're actually in the groups. So I don't even want to know if I should be saying my price, but I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm giving a general ballpark of what I would charge for that.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. With the square footage prices. So like 35 or 40 a square foot, you said.
Yeah. Somewhere around there. And then, you know, it's really about finding people that are willing to pay what you're worth, because I've had plenty, and I mean plenty of people tell me I'm too expensive. And there's two ways to handle that, where you can say, okay, I'm too expensive, I need to lower my prices. So you say, I'm too expensive, and know your worth, and just wait for the person that will pay your price, because somebody will pay it if you're good at what you do. You know, if you don't have the skill, then you're never going to get the money. So that's actually another point that I try to make on my page. It's like, you know your worth, but if your worth isn't, not all worth is the same, unfortunately.
Absolutely. I mean, be realistic. If you're 5 years in the game, I mean, you know what I mean? It's you're going to be at a different price point. Anthony, thanks for joining us, brother. We're doing good. I want to let everybody know, if you've got questions for either myself or Zach, let them know in the comments. Shannon says, hello. What a nice surprise. Shannon. It's always good to see you too, Shannon.
That's my favorite part of tonight,
man. Oh, just a sweetheart. Full of positivity. There's been too much negativity in the Facebook groups lately. Zach, how do you handle negativity, especially when it comes to somebody else's work? We want to talk about prices. Like, that's why I started my group, because I just felt like prices, we just weren't talking about it enough. And when it did come up, everybody said, hey, this isn't the place for it. I don't know. You're over in Utah. I'm in Ohio. How am I going to, you know? So a lot of that kind of mindset. Also, what I see a lot of, Zach, I don't know if you see this, is what are you doing raping your customers?
Oh yeah. No, I've seen it all, man. I've had this page for years, and it started off as a kind of like a joke, just like sort of a place to, basically I made the group, and for, you know, the intents of keeping this clean, I won't say it out loud, but it's DBAC, don't be up. And it basically was just only first design, just to be able to get rid of that right there. That whole thing of the bashing was driving me bananas. So I made my own group that was no bashing. And I'm the only one that's allowed to bash, and I bully bullies on it. But then I started to actually do a couple of posts about little tips and tricks that I've picked up over the years, because I'm almost 20 years in this game. So I think they're helpful, and it would be all related to how you can make more money. And one of the tips and tricks is that you just alluded to, is people say something like, I'm in Utah, or geography has nothing to do with how much money you can make. You can stick me in a freaking, in anywhere in the country, right? And I'm going to be within 1 hour of somebody that has a bank account that is going to be able to cover what I want to make. And I can find those people, and I can sell myself to those people.
Yeah.
So the geography argument, I hate that argument. But as far as your question of how do you handle it, I just get rid of them. I literally strike with an iron fist and I just tell them it's not welcome here. And there's this very simple thing that now that we have a broader audience and people are actually seeing me outside of my own group, I can say it here too. If you ever get out of line in any group and you want to get back in, follow the rules of the person that made the group and maybe go ahead and send a message with an apology instead of letting your ego get a hold of you, because right now we don't care. We have 4,000 people to deal with, or 2,000 or 1,000, even 50 is a lot.
Yeah.
So
right.
It's just
even 50. And I'm a testament to that. Like I said, in the beginning, I wasn't lying. I got kicked out of Zach's group several years ago, before I had a group, before anybody knew my name. And I was coming into the groups hard, right? I was coming in hard and I wanted to talk about business and I wanted, talk like I knew what I was talking about when I don't always know what I'm talking about, even now, but Zach said something, I said something about business, and then we got into it a little bit. And then he, let me know, showed me the door, which is fine, which is great. That's his right, because I was coming in hot. I was coming in real hot. And I want to say that because there's a lot of people on Facebook or the internet in general who just like got on today or tomorrow or yesterday, and they want to come in real hot and they want to like really post a lot and do all this stuff. Sometimes you just got to chill out, maybe observe what's happening, observe the dynamics. Yeah. I didn't even know it was your group, Zach.
A lot of people do. A lot of people still don't. But I took my sweet time with the rules of the page, and they're very simple and very easy to follow.
Sure.
And I took myself out of literally every other group. I actually just recently did this, and I think I'm only here just because I knew I was going to do an interview with you. But I'm just such a big presence that I don't want to get into arguments, and I don't want to break the rules out of other people's groups. Anthony, that's a great question. And this is a topic that I bring up a lot in my group. The guy that changed my life in business, on the business end, because I always had my skills, and not bragging, but I am bragging a little. But the guy that changed my life in business is actually my cousin. He's not even in the tile community. And I told him I was doing really well. And how many bids, Anthony's question is, out of 10 bids, how many do you get? And he said, how many bids out of 10 are you getting? And I said, like, all of them or 9 of them. And he's like, well, here's the thing that you need to do. He's like, you need to be winning 2 out of 10. He's like, you need to be losing 80% of the jobs you bid. And if you're doing that, you are charging the right amount. If you are winning all of them, you are not charging enough. The 80% that you lose will be made up for the 20% that you gain. It's just a simple mathematical equation he gave me. I'm a simple person. It made sense to me. So I started raising my prices until I started losing 8 out of 10 jobs.
Wow.
And when I do that, he's 100% right. I could get one job that would, I could make enough money where I could sit on my couch for a month if I had to. Not like I want to, but if I had to, as opposed to the people that are getting 10 out of 10 jobs, you're working yourself to the ground most of the time.
Yeah.
These guys that say it, and it's not a knock against any commercial installer or any installer that wants to hustle. It's a great quality. But they say, like, I can get 1,000 square feet done in like 2 days. I'm like, why would you want to? I wouldn't want to do that. I don't think I would ever want to try to attempt $1,000. The CTI test is 20 square feet and it kicked my ass. It took it 3 times. It's not about quantity to me.
Well, that 80-20 rule, and someone else says, a couple people are saying that works for them also. That's, Pareto's principle, something like that. I actually have a podcast episode solely dedicated to this 80-20 rule. Essentially, what he's talking about is 20% of your jobs are actually going to make up 80% of your income. And this simple rule, math follows us through life, and you can't deny it. There's certain rules like this that essentially, if you're selling 100 jobs, 20 of them are going to be 80% of your profit. So you're really looking for those 20 jobs, and then you go even further and you can keep reducing this down until every single job is highly profitable. And that's what Zach's talking about. I, for one, think this is the only business model for a small company, a one-man show, a two-man show, a three-man show. The reason being, friends, is you're it. You are the company. If something happens to you, and it happens to all of us, you stub your, you break your leg, you break your hand, you get in a car accident, things are out of your control. your company's done. Your company's in the water. So you've got to have a higher profit percentage than the company who has 10 employees, 20 employees. Their profit percentage is lower because they're dealing in bulk numbers. They're dealing in, you know, 10% net profit on $1 million. Well, you got 100 grand in the bank at the end of the year. It's not a bad deal. It's a completely different business model. But if you're a one-man show doing 200 grand a year, you better make sure you're having 30, 40% net profit. That way you have 20, 30, 40K in the bank every single year after you're paid, after your taxes are paid, after all your supplies. It's just, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, you're running a risk, a high risk.
Yeah, and that's the other, I've been told by other companies, like, they're like, well, you're 10 times what I pay my best guy. And I'll be like, well, your best guy has a truck. He has health insurance. Right. He has a company card. He can go to Home Depot with your money and get whatever he wants at any time. He has paid vacation days. He has personal time off. You know, like, you don't really get that when you're literally running your own business. You know, like, if my truck breaks down, I can't call the office and tell them to get me a new one. Mm-hmm. I am the office.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, it's like, if I call, and to that point, if my truck breaks down on the way to a job, I'm the one that looks bad because I'm not at the job at the time that I told the person that I was going to be there. So I have to keep my equipment in tip-top shape. So I'm protecting my reputation.
That's it. We've got a great question here from a Facebook user. If you want to tell us your name, you can. When you increase your rates, how much at a time do you increase?
Me personally, yeah. I just went up about 10% until I hit that 80-20 number. So if you're doing a backsplash for, let's say, a lot of people are doing backsplashes for super cheap. My minimum backsplash is $1,000, and I don't care if it's 10 square feet, it's just $1,000. But let's say you're doing a backsplash, your standard 25-foot subway backsplash for like $600. Raise it by 10%, right? And bring it up to somewhere closer to 650, and then do your next one at that price, and then see how many jobs you get, and then raise it again, another $50. And then by the time you get to like 800, you're going to be like, damn it, I could have been doing this the whole time. This is crazy. Right. And, you know,
yeah. Another thing, another method would be, in my opinion, would be depending on how far out you're booked. So if you're far, if you have 3 months of work stacked up, you can do what our friend Kristen Blanchard, everybody's favorite rep from, you can do what Kristen says to do and double your rates. And he challenged everybody in my group like a year ago to double your rates if you have a lot of work stacked up. Now, don't go doing this if you're 1 week ahead of, you know, if you're one job after another. But if you have 3 months of work, even 2 months of work stacked up, go ahead and double your rates or raise them something that you're like, I would never get this, right? I would never get this. I don't want this job. Raise them that, double it. Today, Sunday, the 15th or whatever it is, the 16th, someone posted in Tile Money, I doubled my rates and I landed the job. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Kristen. Thanks, Tile Money. That's what happened. So it kind of depends how much work you have, you know, how much work you want. If you don't want the job, a lot of people will just like throw out ridiculous numbers. I mean, it's a learning experience, in my opinion. If you're getting a lot of calls, which a lot of people are right now, go ahead and throw some numbers out there and say, how high can I go?
Yeah. And it doesn't even have to be double. You can just go with that 750 model. If you're not near that $800, $1,000 a day model, right? Just look at the job and say, how long is this job going to take? And let's say the job takes 5 days. Just give them a number at $5,000 and see what happens. You know, and then if you get it, make sure you do a $5,000 job. Make sure you do the highest quality work. You're going to realize you have so much more time on your hands to do it, because you're not rushing through it, you know?
Yeah. You can really focus on the details. Ron Nash brings up an interesting point. He says by, I guess, research, most residential customers are getting one bid. Now, we know the three bid rule, right? And some people even take that further. Oh, I'm on my fifth or sixth bid. I mean, those people, if they, you know, those are red flags. You don't want to work with those people. Do you find this to be true, Zach? Are you selling like almost immediately? Kind of like Paul Lucia, he goes to their house, sells it, and on their table the first time he goes to their house.
I even though I say that I live by the 80-20 rule, I do get a lot more work than, I guess, 2 out of 10 jobs. I'd say I get like half of them. But this actually just happened to me last week. I bid a job that was going through the insurance company, so I knew I could go high and then talk to the guy and have him meet me at my number. And it was about a It was just a 3x5 shower, but it's going to be after ripped out and redone. And I gave him price for $11,000, right? And it was like a white 4x4. And yeah, the guy called me and he's like, whoa, 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 what's up with that? And I was like, hey, man, this is just it. I go, here's the reason why I did it. And here's all the prices. And he was like, well, I'm at like six. And I was like, okay, let's get to 8,500. And we did. And then they ended up calling me after I'd already gotten them approved. They called me. They go, oh, well, we had my brother has a friend who's a contractor, and he's actually going to do the job. So they don't always get one bid. Sometimes you even get undercut, but most residential customers, maybe they do get one bid and you get it. But at my price point, I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing more like they have to either think about it and get other bids and decide if it's the value of me that they want, or if they're trying to save money. And the people that save money, I've had them call me over and over again being like, I should have had you do it.
Yeah. Yeah, Zach, I think both parties are right. You know, I think what Ron is alluding to is sell yourself, sell your company, sell your professionalism, and then they're really going to be comfortable. A lot of the type of clients we want are the type of people who are going to go buy a BMW because they want a BMW. They're going to buy a Mercedes because they like that. They're going to buy, whatever, a Lexus over a Toyota, maybe. Maybe you don't even want a Lexus client. I don't know.
yeah, probably not.
But what I'm saying is they're comfortable with the brand. They're comfortable, not because you really, I mean, honestly, a lot of tilers can do good tile work. So it's the brand, it's the person. People buy from people.
That's the same. And it's exactly what I was talking about earlier, is building your portfolio. Make yourself stand out from everybody else, you know, because I can easily put up 12 by 12. I can put up 12 by 24 and I can do like the simple accent, man. But I tell them I want to do a scribe, the job that I'm going to start tomorrow. It was supposed to be just a simple tub surround. I turned it into a scribe and I just told her, would you let me do this? And she goes, I've seen your work. Yeah, you can do whatever you want. So they're paying for the brand of Zach, I guess you could call it, where they aren't thinking about the money per se. This one's a $5,000 job. It's going to take me 4 days. And now she is not a BMW person. She doesn't live by excessive means, but I was able to get her because the guy that she just came in and did the job screwed it up royally. It looks like garbage. And she just sees the value in anybody else but him. Right. But especially I think what she's doing is because she went one way, she's actually overshooting now. She's like, I want the best and I don't care because I don't want this to happen again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So building your brand and turning yourself into a Lexus or whatever. It's like if somebody walked around with, you know, Walmart shoes for a week and then they were like, you know what, screw it. I'm buying the nicest, you know, Gucci shoes ever because I'm never gonna feel comfortable in those again. You know?
Right. So. Right. It's true. What about referrals? So this person brings up referrals. Do you get a lot of referrals? You're a few years in to your area, so.
Yeah, it's really hard. And that's the thing. I got 10%. That should give us another 20 or 30. I think I can say this confidently because I built my business up in Boston since 2012 before I moved here. It took me about 3 years to start getting those referral. So what I'm doing now is, you know, you got to find the small tile shops and tell them who you are and what you're about. And then you just got to keep on doing these, once again, portfolio jobs so you can get to that point where you're starting to get more referrals. And I've gotten a few down here. I've also worked with a couple people that have been able to get me a few. Mike Cox, Aaron Albrecht, like I got people in my area. I can always get work just because of who I am. I can go on my page and say who's got work. But if you don't have that luxury of like this social media platform, then you really do have to do the work. You have to put your boot to the ground like for a while. It's not something that I think takes you don't really hit the ground running anywhere.
Right. So you're near Houston, right?
I'm in San Antonio, so now 4 hours away from Houston.
Oh, 4 hours. So you, and is Mike Cox close to you?
No, he's like four and a half hours away too. Okay. So I'm actually going, I'm going up there just because things slowed down a little bit here, but I also just wanted to work with him. I've always liked him.
Oh yeah.
We've talked about working in the past. So it was just the timing fit and I'm still trying to get work here and I'm happy to go up there as much as I can.
That's cool.
But that's another thing that to sort of connect it to what I was just saying is sometimes you also got to be willing to sacrifice a little, and you might have to start taking these jobs that are a little bit out of your way. You know, like a lot of people are, I'd rather do a job 20 minutes from home and make less money. I'm like, I'd rather do a more expensive job that I can throw on my Instagram that's 4 hours away. Yeah. You know, that big Tree of Life mosaic mural that I did, I wouldn't have got here at this point. So why not go and do that drive? And that's the way my mind works, is I just want people in San Antonio to see it. Doesn't matter where I did it.
Right. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's on your Instagram. It's your brand. And you're a single guy. So it's like, why not?
Yeah. I got the dog. Like, this is my only responsibility. It's like that little dog over there.
Oh,
like,
he can sit in the truck. Ron asked you a question. Who's doing the best work in your area? I think I can answer this question. Zach is, of course.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't I be? The best work in my area, that's such a weird question. Not a weird question. That's a hard question to answer, because I don't know these other people. I don't have competition, and I'm not competing with anybody or trying to see who's the best. I'm just talking to my customers and worrying about my jobs, which is one of the other things that I criticize. I guess you could say I criticize the criticizers on the page. I'm like, why are you always trying to talk about other people's work? It's not your job. So if you focus on your own work, you're gonna probably do a little better than the people that are focusing on everybody else.
Right.
And when you take the Facebook personality aside, this is how I'm talking real life, and like I'm turning off my TV personality or whatever. But I just say it, like, there is no such thing as competition. It just really doesn't exist in my world. I'm worried about me and me only.
So do you know a lot of Tylers in your area and hang out with them?
I don't hang out with them. You know, Erin does slightly. I mean, me and her are working together sometimes. Mike is 4.5 hours away. You got Catherine doing the Built with Foam in Houston. Jerry Rodriguez, I've met him a couple times. There's John, I think it's John Cox Flooring. Met him once. But once again, I'm sort of a loner. I just stick to do my own thing, worry about myself. The best installer in San Antonio, in my mind, is me, because I'm the only one who has. I've seen my work. I haven't seen all these other guys.
But from the sounds of it, is you like to view other Tylers close and even, you know, within a half a day drive or a day drive as people you can learn from and pick their brains and experience.
Yeah. I mean, if that's a completely different question. Who do I respect in Texas? I mean, so many people. You know, in my area, there's but I mean, the best, who's the best installer question? It's just not something that I really think about.
Yeah, that's a loaded question. I think he was baiting you. Anthony,
that's why I answered it perfectly.
The Three Brothers tile shirts are very comfortable. I appreciate it, man. I wear them all the time. I wear it all the time.
Mr. Tyler's shirt's comfy too.
Yeah. I'm actually getting some, what are those called? Shirtless or sleeveless shirts?
I just take scissors to all my shirts so I can show off. It's like, anybody a vet in here? Because these puppies are sick, type of thing, you know.
You're like Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. How's your battery?
I think we're good. I still got we're good. I got 9%.
All right, let's see here. Sal's got a good comment. If the customer is shopping price, you probably don't want that job anyway. If they're shopping for value and a job done right, be the guy that answers the questions, makes them comfortable. Sal's a guy who knows what he's talking about. Everybody watch Sal on YouTube if you need to get the correct information on stuff. Sal's a great guy.
That's actually, so to go, I love Sal, by the way. I've met him so many times. Like, he's from my area.
That's right.
The thing about that is what he said is really important too, about being able to answer all their questions. I mean, you got these books here. They're not just for show. You've got the TCNA handbook, the reference manual, all this stuff. You know, you can say what you want, but I really do read these things, and I know my stuff. So when I walk into a job and the customer has just talked to two other guys that have said, well, yeah, we can lay it because it'll cost this much money, and they don't really have anything else to add to the conversation, versus somebody like me or Sal who goes into a job and explains EJ 171 and expansion properties and the right type of mortar to use and coverage, and you tell all these things and you rattle them off so fast. You're not actually trying to teach the customer anything. You're sort of just showing them that you know. That is... I think how you lock jobs, that's why I said I kind of do lock a little bit more than 2 out of 10, because it's like, when I'm a natural salesman, I'm a natural talker. But when I go into a job, I make sure I just spout all that nonsense off, and I'm doing it just so that their eyes open up a little wide and go like, all right, I don't even want to talk to anybody else.
Yeah. No. It's almost, you're almost embracing the fact that you live in an area that is run by price when it comes to tiling and construction. I mean, it's just overrun by price, and I see it all the time. I mean, just, I think today or yesterday, somebody said, well, I'm in Texas. I can't, like, they said, we can't get that here. And I said, well, why limit yourself? These are my exact words. I said, why limit yourself like that? He said, I'm not limiting myself. You don't understand. It's where I live. And I said, BS. And I showed him an interview on YouTube that I did with Cabot and Rowe, Paul. And I said, look, this guy's in Houston. He charges $1,500 a day for his two-man crew. Now, look, he didn't do that. He's 30, 40 years in the business. He didn't do that overnight or whatever. But it just shows it location. And it almost, like Zach is saying, it's almost to his benefit that there's so many hacks running around. All they're focusing on pumping up the numbers, getting out bids. It's a race to the bottom. And then Zach comes along and he's like, well, did you know this? And did you know about this expansion should really go here if we're doing, anything over 20 feet, right? Or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, just explaining to them that there's more than one type of fin set, you know, like a grout that has a sealer in it, a built-in sealer, et cetera. There's all these little things that you can just sort of rattle off, and they will immediately know that you're not that guy. They will realize that you are knowledgeable. And then when they are sort of more braced for the price that you're going to send them, you know, like, cause if they just meet you and they go, well, a tile guy came over, right? And then you send him a price for 10 grand for a shower. They're going to go, well, why is he worth that? You're sort of preempting why you're worth that in that first meeting by sort of just conveying what you already know. Like, you know, so I would say that, do that every time. I do it every time. Sounds like bragging. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's a selling tactic. Mm-hmm.
Christopher wrote a little paragraph here. So I'll get with you later, Christopher.
Chris, this is good. If there's comments, I figured this might happen. If there's comments of somebody in there that we can't see, I'm only seeing the important stuff. So like any other thread with my face on it, I'm sure there's going to be comments.
Exactly. There's always talkers. It's easy to talk. It's easy to talk for sure.
It's easy to type. It's very easy.
Yeah. Well, tell you what, brother. I think we covered a lot. If anybody has any more questions, try to get them in real quick here. Any last words of wisdom, Zach?
Yeah, no, I mean, just, I say this a lot, I sort of coined the phrase, I'm sure somebody else said something similar, but you know, money is a byproduct of success. Mm-hmm. It's not something that if you go in trying to make money, you probably won't. Mm-hmm. But if you go in just trying to be the best at what you do and really taking pride in your work and really doing the work, like I just said, by knowing the actual material, conveying it, hustling, driving 4 hours if you have to, going back and doing touch-ups for 4.5, 9 hours each way two days ago, just to do 2 hours worth of work. That's what I did because you have to hold yourself accountable. And if you do all that, money just sort of happens. It's not something that it's not necessarily something that you do by accident. You don't make money by accident, but if you sort of just put it in the back of your mind as it will just be there. If I do A, B, and C, D will happen. That's the best way I think to make money in this business. It's not to focus on money. It's to focus on being good at what you do. Mm.
I'm really glad you said that. You know, I have this podcast and Facebook group, Tile Money. I talk about profit a lot. But really, it's not how I personally define success. I personally define success as having a lot of time with my family. I have a 4-year-old daughter. I want to be there more than most dads, more than the average dad, I should say, in the United States. I really don't define it by money. Money allows me to do a lot of those things. Making money quickly and smartly with my brain allows me to be home and raise my daughter like she's going to be my, you know, we're going to be friends for life. We're going to be close. Money allows me to do that. That's my definition of success.
Yeah, I mean, I just buy guns and freaking, you know, I got guns and beers, but I wouldn't be able to do that if it wasn't for all the money I make by not caring about money. I hate money. But
what's
I love
a good
what
gun
can
I should get
you.
For a first gun guy?
What's that?
These world conditions, man. I think I'm going to buy a gun real soon.
This is my favorite one. This is the Chiapa Rhino.
All right.
this one's essentially the rainbow gun.
Oh, wow.
The 357 Magnum. We could turn this into a gun podcast.
A gun podcast.
Yeah, oh my gosh. No, I don't have, I have too much free time to go and do something silly like that.
All right. One last question from Ron. What's your future look like, Zach? What do you want to build in the future?
That's a great question. And you know what? I don't think I've ever been asked that, but it's a question. What I want, my end goal in this business is to do one or two jobs a year. And the rest of the time, I want to be doing flip houses and property management. That's my retirement plan. Because to be completely honest, if you're a one-man installer and you plan on doing this for 50 years, it's just like any major league sport. You're going to beat the crap out of yourself and you're eventually going to get to the point where you can't do it all the time.
Right.
So I want to build my reputation up where I got all these really high dollar custom home remodels and I can focus on one a year. And the rest of the time, I'll probably just have a crew of guys doing like, you know, flip houses, or I'll live in a house and just flip it and take my sweet time. Mm-hmm. But that's what I want to do in this business / it's not just this business. It's the construction business for me, but in the tile industry, to answer it specifically related to tile, I want to be so good that people will pay me a ridiculous amount of money so I don't have to work.
That's awesome. Got a couple comments from John from YouTube. Thanks for watching, John from YouTube. All right, Zach. Well, you have been a great guest. Thanks, sir, for your time, and thank you for sharing your knowledge. And I appreciate the work you're doing over
at, you too.
Everybody, if you're not in his group or don't know about it, the Misfit Tylers, if you want to get crazy, that's where you go.
Read the rules when you come in.
Read the rules. There's a long list of rules. No, just kidding.
It's just one.
Just one rule. But he shares, I noticed you share, you call it Business with Zach. Some
Business with Bonfilio.
Okay, that's what it is. All right.
Yeah. So Business with Bonfilio, it's just, so this is a PG-13 podcast. It's an R-rated business live that I do whenever I'm feeling froggy. Basically, it's just tips that I've picked up along the way. I'm not the best businessman. I'm terrible with money. Once again, I got a $1,500 pistol next to me for no reason. But I have been able to make money, and I know that I have. It's not something that I have to guess about. So I try to just share that so somebody who is better at business can succeed.
Right on. All right, Zach. Well, enjoy that pool, man.
All right, Luke. You have a good one, brother.
All right, you have a good day. All right, tile friends, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Zach. What a great guy, great guest. I know he's got a lot of controversy out there, and that's what happens sometimes when you put yourself out there. So, all right. So I've never heard him not say any dirty words. Yeah, that was a long podcast. So we talked for close to 47 minutes. All right. So I want to answer, Ron asked a question to Zach, I think. What's your future look like? What do you want to build in the future? Well, I'm going to answer that, whether or not that was directed at me. Zach answered for Zach, and I'm going to answer for Tile Money. You know, real soon here, I'm going to be launching and releasing some new information, some new goals for 2021. Season 3 is coming up real soon of the podcast. Season 3, it's going to be a good one. We're going to be diving further and further into the business. We're going to be doing more lives. We're going to be doing some stuff on the road in person. We're going to be bringing out some more new products. I'm not going to talk about all of them until they're finalized and I have it all kind of, you know, in stone, so to speak, because I've been working on it every day. We're still releasing a podcast a week every single Tuesday. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can subscribe in just about any podcast app. And really what I want to do for Tile Money is I want Tile Money to become the epicenter of where people go when they think about education for tile contractors business-wise. And that's really what we're already well established. We're already well on our way with 4,500 people in the group. And we're just doing more and more. I'm going to be rolling out with some new programs and kind of formatting. The YouTube channel is going to get a facelift. We're going to be putting out some shorter some shorter videos on the YouTube channel. And essentially, at the end of the day, people are going to look to Tile Money for everything business related in the tile industry. And that's where we're going with this Tile Money LLC. We're continuing to expand. I have some great sponsors coming up. I know more sponsors are going to jump in and join me in this thing we're growing together, because it needs to be done. Tile contractors everywhere are just not, as a whole, they're just not making enough money. They're just not doing well enough. And I want it to be that tile is the thing, is the trade that everybody wants to be in. I want to see the day when electricians and plumbers say, why can't we make what tile contractors make? That's where I'm headed to this. That's where I'm going with this. And I want young people coming up that want to work with their hands, I want them to look to tile contractors and say, I want to be a tile apprentice. That's what I want. That's some of the most severely troubling things in this industry is, one, there's not enough help. Everybody, it's a fight. Who's going to get the best apprentices? We're losing them to electricians and plumbers and carpenters and even drywall guys, because we just aren't giving them an attractive package. If you can't pay yourself, if you're not profitable, how are you going to pay your help? How are you going to offer them benefits? How are you going to give them paid time off? You're just not going to do it. That's why I believe and continue to say that profitability in the tile installation industry needs to be more. When we're more profitable, we're going to attract better help. We're going to continue to strengthen the business of tile. We're going to strengthen tile installation, ceramic tile. It's a long, rich history. And the 90s were rough. The 90s were really rough. I get it. All you had was 3 or 4 selections, 12 by 12s, 3/16-inch grout joints, 3 by 6s, 4 by 4s. You didn't have a lot. It was rough. I mean, we were just basically banging it out. We were just putting out a product. So I understand that was a rough period. But now look at what we have. We have everything. We have the best tile. We have so many different variables, stone, marble, porcelain that looks and blows stone and marble away. You got slabs. And if we don't get a handle on this, we're already losing a huge market share of the porcelain slab. They're not going to stop making this stuff, guys. We're losing this market to slab guys, stone and marble slab guys. They're taking it over, and they don't want it. They don't necessarily want it. We want it. If you want it, you need to get after it. You need to hook up with my man, Adam, and head over and check out what him and Mike Sima did this last, I believe it was yesterday. They're doing stuff. Find one of these companies who are giving you free education, how to cut and install porcelain slabs and how to charge. I'm going to be focusing on that. We're going to do a whole series of podcast episodes just dedicated to GPTP, gauge porcelain tile panels, because it is so critical that we don't lose this. We don't let it become a commodity, because that's not what tile is. And we keep those prices high, keep that profit high, make tile sexy again. That's right. John says, I don't know what that is. Pokemon? So listen, guys, Joseph says, continue to progressively progress. Joseph, thanks for commenting. You reminded me, every podcast episode, I want to thank one of my patrons. Joseph Lambert is a great guy in the South here. He's a guy who can install a lot of tile. He's quick. I think he gives Flash a run for his money. I'd like to see that one day, just personally. Joseph is very talented. He's a young guy, and he's got a lot of talent, and he's a patron of Tile Money Podcast. If you want to support this podcast, I did throw the link up. You can also go to tilemoney.com, and you can give me a small monthly donation to help me continue to do what I'm doing. We're going to continue to add new things to this. So just reading some of the comments here. We've got some people checking out the YouTube. You're welcome. I'm happy to be doing this. It gives me pleasure to get messages every day from people who are saying that this helps. This helps their businesses. People are actually profitable. They're taking vacations. Oh, this is a guy, John. John said he's an electrician that wants to learn tile. I've seen you around the groups, John. Yeah, that's awesome, man. So this is the deal. So we want to, what I'm trying to do is dislodge some of these, these realities, you know, that that electricians and plumbers make the money and tilers don't. I want to really upset that and turn that upside down and say, look, tile is profitable. Tile can be very profitable no matter what state you're in, no matter what county you're in. You just got to know how to sell it. You got to know how to talk to people. You got to know how to listen to people. You got to know that your value, and you got to know that people don't know what it costs. So in other words, as a business owner, you have to understand what it's costing you, the business owner, because it is costing you a lot of money to go out there and work every day and remodel a bathroom and put tile floors in. It's costing you a lot of money. So you have to know your cost. They don't know your cost. That's why when you give them a number and sometimes, you know, and sometimes does this ever happen to you? Because I know it's happened to me in the past. Do you ever feel like you just throwing numbers out there? And I know today in this podcast, I talked about doubling your prices if you got a lot of work and stuff. But do you ever feel like you're just throwing numbers out there, almost like on a dartboard? And then the client comes back and he's like, can you take $500 off? And you're like, sure, why not? Like, you don't know. It was just a guess anyway. So you really don't know that. And you think like, I can take $500 off here. I could take $1,000 off here. You're just like guessing. It's just a lot of guesswork. And it's painful. It's awfully painful because every single job, I've been there, every single job's over. And you're like, well, that one took a lot longer than I thought. Well, hopefully the next one is profitable. It's always the next one's going to be profitable. That's the way it is. So that's what I'm trying to do, is to help you understand that it's costing you money to install tile in people's homes that they own, and it adds value to their life and bank account. When they go to sell that home and it's got a brand new tile shower, they can sell it for a lot more money. Tile floors, some of the best floors you can get. Laminate, they're here today, gone tomorrow. That stuff's going to fill up the landscape, the trash. That stuff's going to be, you know, polluting the earth for years to come. But tile could actually last a lifetime. We see that. We see that in New York. We see that in San Francisco. Competing with Corian, guys. Corian doesn't belong in a shower. I don't know much about it, to be honest, but yeah, it's rough. What's really sad is some of these plastic companies like Rebath or Bath Fitters, they're over there selling showers, bath, like tub to shower conversions, or just actually tub surround for like $8,000 to $12,000 throughout the whole United States. It's a nationwide company, and they do it every day, and they do financing. A lot of you won't even consider financing your jobs or accepting credit cards. I don't know. It's a tool you can use to negotiate higher prices. And you know, yeah, it's going to cost you 3%, but build that into your price. So, all right, that's it for me, guys. It's Sunday. I'm going to see if my wife wants to go out to dinner and see if I can take her out, spoil her a little bit. And then I'm going to get back here tomorrow. We've got some great episodes lined up this week. We're going to be talking to a few great people. As always, the podcast is always out on Tuesdays, a new podcast and a new YouTube. Wherever you watch it or listen to it, subscribe so that you hear that ding. It goes off. And like I said before, if you want to be like Joseph Lambert and support me, you can do that by becoming a patron over on my Patreon. You can find that at tilemoney.com. All right, tile friends, I've enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed talking to Zach. And as always, thanks for all the comments. We've had almost 30 people here the whole time, so I appreciate the support. And together, we are changing the industry. All right, stay profitable, tile friends.